So I was checking out this video the other night, and it was the Nappy Boy Automotive. Have you heard of that before?
That's
So it's that's
T-Pain's
like
thing.
Hurt. Yeah,
Or
T-Pain and
Hurt.
Hurt.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because, you know, T-Pain is like this, you know, is kind of a superstar, right, in terms of the music world. And then for him to have such an interest in cars, so much so that he's like, I'm gonna start something, you know, completely fresh, and obviously joining forces with someone that's well known, like Hurt, is a smart move. And I think they're really, really good friends before all this started. But it's just interesting to see someone from that level come into our world, and he's just like fully immersed in it. And you know, I'm not, you know, I don't listen to his music a lot or anything, but I just find it very, very interesting because typically that's not the case, right? You don't have such a high-profile person jumping in. We've seen inklings, like little bits and pieces. I know, like Travis Scott featured some cool cars in some of his videos and stuff, like RX-7s and NSXs and stuff like that. But in this case, like he's kind of all in, right? Like this is a business. He needs to make money. He needs to generate capital, keep this thing going. And it seems like he's really, really invested in it. And it's pretty cool.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like you have to differentiate, especially for like content creators, differentiating culture and mastering a craft or whatever you're interested in, right? So I think that the reason why T-Pain, it's kind of cool to see him come into the automotive world is because he already has a platform when it comes to right culture, right, or influence, whatever it is. So having someone like that come, someone cool who creates music and all that, come into the car world, it's a nice blend because you're kind of already like a lot of people already do this. It's the same thing with me. Like I'm a b-boy and I dance and I'm in hip hop, and I also can kind of clash with the car culture because of my background with Koenig. And it just makes sense because a lot of the people within the culture are very similar to towards each other because of the time, I would say, probably, right? Hip hop is such a big thing around the world, globally. So when you kind of blend both, it just makes sense, you know, especially for the younger generation, you know.
Yeah, and I think for me, I was very skeptical when I first heard about it, and I was like, what is this guy? I mean, I don't know, it's more rapper than singer, like singer rapper guy, like he's gonna come into cars all of a sudden and start this thing. But then if you see his involvement and you see how passionate he is about it, like you see the expression on his face, like he's into it. It's not just like a little bit of a hobby off the side. Like he loves what he's, you know, what he's getting into. And that's cool to see. It's not the first time that we've seen people cross over, right? Like you know, somebody like a YouTuber like Jimmy Oakes, or I mean, there's a ton of Adam LZ. There's a ton of them that come from like the action sports background, and they sort of made their way into cars, and then that's what they're living and breathing now. And I think they probably still hold on to that the past, but I think right now, in terms of content, you know, cars are kind of killing it. And if you're one of the front runners, like someone like Adam LZ, and can make a nice little living, right, doing that.
I think it's also interesting, especially for content creators like these guys, where, for example, like Adam LZ, you kind of seen him become the like master the craft through his YouTube channel, right? Like from the beginning till now, it's like it's a totally different person. I'm talking about was he's been YouTubing doing this for definitely over 10 plus years, you know what I mean? So it's nice to see, especially for someone like myself, who like let's say, you know, I wouldn't call myself a quintessential car guy. Let's say if I decided to start a YouTube channel, but I already have the background of culture, and you see, so that interest already from like let's say the breaking community is already there, and I'm like, hey guys, I'm gonna start working on cars, which is like someone like Travis Pastrana, which I saw he's doing the rally stuff and all that. You kind of see his progression from like, hey, I'm starting to do this, to now going on track and doing all these things. I think that's what we're all interested in, right? Because people who do extreme things always want to look for the next thing to do, right? Like it's just the way that we function, you know. I'm the same way myself. Like I do b-boying, but I like to do the next project and kind of do something really cool with it. I've already talked about doing, you know, starting a project car, and the reason why is because it's like, I don't know, man. There's just this innate feeling of I want to try it out and see how I do with it. You know what I mean? Because sure. I've had success in this area. And I like to see those guys. I'm a personally, I love to see Travis Pastrana doing that, you know, doing his thing with Rally and all that. And it's just, it's the next step towards whatever he's doing in life, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, like you mentioned, some of these guys have been doing it for so long. And I think that's part of the draw. If you're a YouTube fan, is you're seeing the journey, right? You're seeing them starting from ground zero almost. Maybe they have like, you know, 100 people subscribed, and then now, you know, they're like in the millions. You know, you're kind of going along for the ride the whole way.
Yep.
It's like having like some crazy Netflix show that's like a huge hit, but it just keeps going, right? It keeps going on and on and on.
Yeah.
And when you see your friends that also follow that, you talk about, hey, do you see what Adam did on this, or, you know, that car or whatever? There's certainly something there, right? Like to latch onto. And it's crazy now because we don't even know where it's going to end, right? Like, it's so new to be like a YouTube front runner.
Yeah.
We don't know how far it's going to go. Like, what happens next? Do they eventually do like a Mr. Beast thing where they cross over and they start doing TV stuff?
Yeah.
Like, is that in the future? Does that even make sense now? Because TV is like kind of dead compared to, you know, what we're seeing online. But I'm always curious to see what will happen next, because some of these guys are so big now. Like, they're so huge, they have such a following.
Yeah.
And they can do no wrong. Whatever they do, like, that's law, you know. So that part is interesting. I think probably in the people that you're around, like other b-boys, there's got to be some of them that have crossed over into cars, or maybe even came from cars, like vice versa.
Yeah, I that's a very interesting thing to kind of look at, like influencers in that sure. direction, right? Like, there's obviously something that you're interested in and gets you to a specific point, and then you're like that. And I think that's what happens with a lot of these type of people, like Jimmy Oakes and all that. It's like you've gotten to a point where you're like, okay, I've done what I can with this discipline, you know, where can I go next, you know? And I think that T-Pain, you know, he's a jack of all trades, he's a renaissance man, and that's why once he decided to do motorsports, it was like, for he brought his whole audience with him, right?
Sure.
To yeah. the eyeballs of motorsports that probably haven't really been like, they haven't really experienced it in the way that people who have been to motorsports their whole lives, right? So I think it's very interesting to see a whole new crowd of people that are interested in Nappy just all of a sudden be part of the car culture.
You know, it's like a smaller version of what happened. And I know I hate bringing this film up, but when the Fast and Furious yes. came out,
exactly.
And I'm sorry, I know there's a lot of people that love those films. And I despise them. But
I get it.
When that movie came out, it was like you had a bunch of people that, because of the movie and the hype and all the interest in it, it brought a ton of people that were not car people. And it probably it was a gateway, right?
Yeah.
So then you had people that turned into car people, and now they're like lifelong car people, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe they were, you know, 15 years old when that movie came out, and then they were like, damn, I love this stuff, I'm gonna get into it. And then, you know, here we are, you know, decades later, and they're still doing it, which is a cool thing. At the time I didn't like it, but I, you know, I completely understand it.
So it's funny that you say that, because I'm hoping that you're around the age to understand this, Matt. So in the break,
so, you know,
in the breaking community, they still live behind this movie called Beat Street, you know, which is a
movie. I saw it when I was a kid.
Yeah. So in the 80s, it was like this big, like when Beat Street came out onto movies, and the silver screen, whatever, it just generated a whole new generation of breakers that it went outside of New York City and went everywhere all of a sudden. So now you're seeing breakers in California and Germany and, you know, even further, other countries, you know, whatever, because of this movie Beat Street. And I think that's what's interesting when someone like T-Pain comes to the car community. It opens up that same door. Someone who probably wouldn't have been privy to car culture now sees it and says, okay, you know what? I want to try to make a drift build. You know what I mean? And that's what's interesting about seeing people with this giant type of audience kind of do that. And it's the same with skateboarding, you know. That's why skateboarding, BMX translates so well to, I think, motorsports, because it's kind of like the next step, like, right, they're on wheels, right? So you're like, okay, what can I do after I do, you know, this type of thing? And most of the time it makes sense. Let me try it on a car, let me try what I did with my bike on a car. You know, it's just,
yeah. So the whole point to that and what you're saying makes complete sense, because a lot of the reason that there's the crossover from skateboarding or BMX or dancing or, you know, all these other things into cars is because it's the natural state of progression. You right. want to progress as an individual. With cars, it's not necessarily a team sport. And I think that draws a lot of the more rebellious type mm-hmm. to it. Mm-hmm. It can be a team sport if you've got a crew and, like, you know, maybe you have like a race team or you have a show car crew or whatever it is. And it can be very, very involved, you know, friend wise. I know Scott has talked before about how he always enjoyed working on cars in his garage. He'd have seven or eight friends come over and they spend the whole night just working on cars and hanging out. There's that. And there's also people like myself that don't really like that. I like to just do it by myself, you know, in the garage, you know, alone. But the fact is, when you're progressing in skateboarding, your whole thing is you want to do the next big trick. You want to learn the next trick, whether it's something you're trying to come up with yourself or you saw it in a video and you want to try to emulate that. BMX, same thing. With cars, it's the next thing. Like, what mods am I going to get? How much faster can I make it? How much more can I dyno? So, you know, how much better can I make it look? It's all about progression, and it just carries over.
So it's funny that you say that, because it's the same thing in breaking, right? So yeah. When you first start to break, you know what I mean? The first thing you do is, like, you're breaking by yourself, and then you're like, all right, let me do it with a crew, you know? But then there's other people who, well, now, wait, let me not skip a step. So then when you're with your crew, you're either doing it in the garage or in the basement for the first time, or, you know, out in a practice spot. And it's just, some people live in that. That's what they sure. want to do. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, it's not like they want to go any further because they love that. That's the lifestyle part, right? That we all talk about. But then there's other dancers who now, as breaking has become part of the Olympics and stuff like that, and it's become, you know, now you can get, you know, movie parts and stuff like that. You can be an influencer and Nike can sponsor you, all these type of things. There's other yeah. people who have higher aspirations, you know what I mean? So they want to do that, you know, so they end up having their own route. And then, but then there's so many directions that you can go with it. And I think that when it comes to, this is the reason why it's so relative to each other, because it's like that, like, I came from nothing, but I'm making something type of yeah. feeling, you know what I mean? So that's why a lot of the times we gravitate towards these people like YouTubers, like an Adam LZ, because a lot of people see Adam LZ's journey and they're like, I could do that too, you know? So same thing with skateboarders and all that, and then being able to, you know, do it with a car. It just makes sense. The progression makes sense. Just like you were saying, it just makes sense that this is the direction you would go. And these are people who are extreme, you know, who like to do things and kind of push the limits. And that's the reason why I relate with car people so much, just because yeah. I could see them like being like, okay, I want to try to figure this out. How can I get to the other side of this? And they're like freaking technicians. They're just like figuring it out. And it's the same thing with breaking. It's the same thing with anything that kind of has like no limits. There we go. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think you, from your background, you realize too that a lot of how much you can progress comes down to what you can do. So if you want to learn some kind of a new move, and let's say it's something kind of dangerous, right? Something on your head. You guys do some crazy stuff, right? Yeah. Flip some stuff. You have to weigh the consequences, right? Yeah. Like, you have to consider, hey, I could get really, really hurt here, or go on with the mentality of like, I don't care, I'm going to make this happen, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing for an athlete. If you're playing right. Football or basketball, you can get hurt, right? Doing anything. With cars, the risk is usually more monetary, right? You can probably order those parts and put them on your credit card, but you're going to have to pay it back someday, right? So you have to kind of weigh the options there. So there's still that same feeling of that same bit of drama that yeah. goes into action sports or dancing, goes into cars too. It's just on a different wavelength, but it's still the same idea. You know, yeah. for me, like, my origin story, like, I came from originally, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. I enjoyed playing soccer. That was my passion, right? And mm-hmm. then when I got a little bit older, like, you know, around 11 or 12, then I discovered skateboarding. And it felt like that was what I wanted to do, because it was not a team sport. It was something individual. Mm-hmm. And I got really, really into it. And that's what I did for, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years. That's all I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of naturally fell into cars. That came next. And it was the same idea for each of them, just applied to different platforms. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons that I got into cars is because One of the guys that we used to skateboard with, he was very young and he went professional like very, very young, right? His brother was like the guy in San Diego when it came to cars. He was the guy. And he had this incredibly fast Eclipse. Mm-hmm. If Scott was here, his eyes would widen. Eclipse, what? But he had this incredibly fast Eclipse. And he needed a part-time job. I worked at a fast food place. He started working there. One night, we knew each other because of his brother. Mm-hmm. He was like, hey, you know, I'll, if you need a ride home, I'll give you a ride home because we were closing. It was super late. And he gave me a ride home. And he's like, you ever been in a fast car before? I was like, nah. And he got on it. And it was very, very fast. Scared the crap out of me. But I was fascinated from that point on. And then that sort of lit the fire, right? And then I got into cars. So my story is like everyone else that I deal with. It started from somewhere, usually sports or action sports, and then it kind of just snowballed into cars, and then that kind of took over their lives, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Similar. I would say specifically to New York, it's very, like, that's a very common story. And I say that because, like, for example, when I was younger, you know, and I've said this before too, like, my boys used to, all, you know, Dominicans in New York, you know, they love working on their cars. So I used to hang out with them.
They have boxing gloves hanging from the rearview mirror?
Definitely.
All right, go ahead. I want to make sure you're legit. I don't know.
But what we used to do is the same thing. We'd have a garage. I used to have when I was younger, one of my first cars was a 92 Eagle Talon TSI.
Again, and Scott's eyes.
Yeah. So what I used to do was I would bring it to the garage. I would literally bring my floor to the garage. And then my boys, all my other boys who will be boys too, while my boys would work on the car for me, because the thing is, it's I have ADHD. I don't have the patience for it. But they would be like, what do you need? We need to fix this. Do you mind if I play with it? I'm like, yeah, go ahead, man. And then I'd be like playing music and braking at the same time while they're working on the car, and they have their cars there. And then all of a sudden it becomes like a thing where everybody's just hanging out. And I say that because it's similar culture. It's all culture. Sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's all like, you know, there's something about these type of groups that ends up, I don't know, it just feels the same.
It's no different than like we talked about earlier with like Scott having a bunch of his friends in his garage just wrenching on cars all night. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's like the camaraderie, right? Like,
yeah,
it's the getting away from the house and just kind of like getting together with your friends and just doing that and just focusing on that for a while and just having fun. But I think I question now, because I've become so accustomed to people crossing over from these different you know, aspects of life, like, you know, the sports and action sports and stuff. I wonder now for the future though if it's going to be the same, because kids now, and I know this sounds like I'm harping on electronics and all that, but a lot of the kids now are so focused on, you know, video games and electronics and stuff like that. Their attention span is super short. So I don't know if it's going to be the same way where they're thinking in terms of, I need to find something that I can do on my own that I can progress in, you know, over time. I don't know if it's going to be the same. And, you know, I have kids and I watch and I see, you know, my youngest especially is like very, very athletic, and he's very focused on improving. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming, I'm hoping he gets that from me, but I don't know, like some of my friends' kids, they just have zero interest in any type of sports at all. And I always feel like that's like the springboard when you're young. It's what kind of like sets the tone for everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I question that.
It's tough for me to say too, because I don't have kids, you know, and I don't see the full, right. Like, you know, like I see my little cousins and stuff like that. And
yeah,
they're, you know, again, I say this with like a lot of my little cousins are much older now, like saying like they're teenagers. So, but in the future moving forward, how they would catch interest in things, I don't know, man. Yeah. I mean, they're literally glued to their phones and devices and stuff like that. So, but that's why I think that YouTubers like the ones that we were talking about, they're vital because they create those interests.
That's the
one hope that we got, right? It's like, oh, you know what? I want to try to do what he's doing or she's doing, you know? And that's the only way that I think that the next generation of car people are going to be created, right? Is through these YouTubers.
That's a, it's a really good point, because yeah, without that, I don't know that there is any sort of connection, because no, you're not seeing it on TV, right? Like on Saturday mornings.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? There's no magazines. Yeah. There's no like.
Yeah.
There's no like back in the days, it was like that's how you got interested into things was word of mouth. But word of mouth is not. Is that still a thing? Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. You had like you know, like magazines to kind of go from, and you go to the grocery store or something, you see a Super Street or something, or Import Tuning, you pick it up and start flipping through it. That stuff's all gone now. So
my thing is just like, I hope that there is a new growth of the car guys that isn't so cheesy, you know what I mean? like I've from working here for this long, the amount of cheese balls that I see out there, and I think it's just because of the lack of, you know, a lot of cool media out there and stuff like that. Like, you know, I hope that it gets better, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe the new gateway is YouTube. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Because every kid I see is glued to that sucker. So
YouTube is the new, like, even me, I'm sure even you, I don't know about mm-hmm. you, but yeah. even me, like, I don't go turn on my TV and put on Channel 5. I don't even know what that is anymore. Yeah. Like, it's so far that it feels like a memory. What I do is if I want to watch something, I either go to one of my apps or mainly I go to YouTube, you know, and that's where my interests are. So YouTube is the new cable. That's what it is.
It really is. Yeah, you're right about that, because, you know, TV is certainly dead.
It's dead. It's gone.
And it seems like that's not coming back.
MTV but, only plays ridiculousness. Think about that.
Well, even that's gone now.
Oh, it's gone too. So what do they have now?
I think it's done. I think that's all there is.
There's no more MTV. That's it. Jeez, what a that's so sad, bro. I grew up with TRL and all that. Now it's like MTV was what I watched.
Right, right.
Now it's
you're old. You're old as dirt. So that's it.
I am old.
That's it. So you know, I'd like to get an idea of what people that are watching, like what their thoughts on it. Cause I know there's a lot of people that, that follow us, that probably started from one of the things we were talking about, action sports or sport, you know, skateboarding, BMX, maybe dancing, certainly sports. They probably crossed over at some point, and I'd be interested to see, like, you know, read some of those stories. So feel free to post below, let us know.
Yeah.
And, that's all there is to it, man. It's good talking to you. We've never done one of these together, you and I. It's always
it's the first
Scott
one.
And Nick. Scott and Nick or Scott and I. So, it's cool to catch up for a minute.
I'm a Jets fan, unfortunately.
All right. I apologize, folks.
All right, guys.
All right, man. Good talking to you. We'll see you.